Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're taking a look at pricing practices in the storage industry. Storage is a product that is fairly sticky. That is to say, moving a lot of personal belongings into a storage locker is time intensive. It often involves renting a truck and taking a Saturday afternoon to make a few trips. The decision to rent a storage unit is often event-driven. Maybe someone's moving or downsizing. The storage company might even have a truck they'll rent you for free to move your belongings on the way in. But renting a truck is a hassle. It's more expensive than renting a car usually. Even U-Haul has an inexpensive daily rate, but a high mileage rate. So you might rent a truck for, say, $29, but you're looking at a few hundred dollars on the total bill once you take all the extras into account. Moving belongings has friction. The more friction, the more people will delay moving their belongings out of storage. When people are making a decision as to who to use for their storage solution, they're going to comparison shop. Some might have a move-in special. Some might guarantee the current rate, say, for 6 months. Some might offer free rent, maybe the first month free rent. That's a very popular strategy. But it's essential to clarify this doesn't mean that there's no cost at all. A lot of tenants will have a credit for the second or the third month, but they'll have to pay for the first month. Smart operators generally collect some form of payment up front to prevent abuse and to ensure responsible tenancy. For example, instead of free rent, some operators offer a discounted rental rate. Now, not flashy, but it can still be enticing. Operators can manage discounts in various ways, tailoring them to attract new customers. There might be waived fees. Fees could be used judiciously and under specific circumstances. For example, waiving admin fees or security deposits can make renting more appealing to potential tenants. Okay, so we understand that operators of these facilities are using incentives to attract clients. Now, when you're commissioning a third-party market study in order to understand the local market dynamics, these practices make it increasingly difficult for a market analyst or even for an appraiser to get an accurate picture of what's really happening in the market. For example, if the company's offering a discounted rent for the first 3 months, or say the first 6 months, how is the appraiser supposed to determine the actual market rent? Do they base their estimates on the full rental rate and ignore the rent concessions? Well, that would clearly bias the numbers in one direction. Do they base their market on advertised rents only? That, too, would be clearly misleading. You're starting to see how it might be nearly impossible to get an accurate picture. Now, as sponsors of projects, it's easy to create a financial model for a project. But in order to prevent bias from entering into the investment process, it's important to get a third-party market study commissioned. Investors and lenders increasingly rely upon the third-party market study as a part of their due diligence. The project sponsors themselves rely on the third-party market study to get an accurate assessment of what's happening in the market and to determine whether the project is worth moving forward with. This also requires a detailed segment analysis, for example, for climate-controlled and non-climate-controlled, or what's happening in boat and RV storage. What if a storage company that services professionals like lawyers, accountants, and doctors were to offer secure document shredding service? That could have significant value. You simply bring your new box of files to the storage unit, check the expiry date on the boxes in the unit to determine which ones can be destroyed, and then bring those obsolete boxes down to the shredding room on the way out, and you're done. If the competing facilities don't offer a similar document shredding service, then it almost doesn't matter what the competition is renting for. Now, on the one hand, storage can be viewed as a commodity, and by definition, a commodity is interchangeable. You can find gasoline for your car a few cents cheaper, you're going to go to the gas station across the street. It's hard to build supplier loyalty for a commodity. If the value is interchangeable, the discussion always degenerates to price. The challenge then becomes in finding the breakpoint that will cause clients to comparison shop and make a change. If the cost of a move is, say, $200 by the time you've rented the truck and moved all the contents, how much cheaper does the competing offer need to be? If you're going to save $20 a month by moving, then your break-even on that $200 investment would be after 10 months. How many people are going to spend 4 hours on a Saturday afternoon, rent a truck, in order to save $20 11 months from now? I would assert that not that many people will make that choice. Even if you could save $40 a month, the time to break even on that $200 investment is now down to 5 months. How many people would spend 4 hours out of this coming Saturday for the possibility of saving $40 6 months from now? Many people will not exercise that trade-off, which is why storage offers are so sticky. The friction to moving is high. And many market studies that I see fail to take this market dynamic into account. They simply treat the market as if it's very liquid. That friction means that people will stay in your unit longer than you expected once they move in, but it also means people will rent from you much more slowly than you think. If incentives are a major portion of what's going to bring clients to you versus the competition, it's going to take longer than you think it might. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.